Pastor, continue what we are doing in the, about two Sundays ago. Last Sunday, we couldn't continue because we did something else. And I want to appreciate the technical and the media group. They did wonderfully. Please, if you want to join them, don't waste time. Please, join them. May God bless that department. In Jesus' precious name. May God provide money for the church to give them all that they needed to function properly. In Jesus' precious name. That means, may God bless you and that you can bring the money. Church does not have filling station. We don't sell fuel. It's what we bring that we spend. Am I correct? May God bless you. Glory be to God. We continue from where we stop. Keys to experiencing God's goodness. Part 2. And next week we'll take part 3. And that will be the closer of this series. The keys we need to experiencing God's goodness. Part 2. Our text remains the same. Psalm 65 and verse 11. Thou crowned the year with your goodness, and your path drop fatness. Thou crowned the year with your goodness. The year is going to an end. The only thing we are listed to enjoy is His goodness. You are enjoying the goodness of God. I say you are enjoying the goodness of God. And 2 weeks ago, we defined that goodness as God's divine nature and quality that signifies God's moral perfection. His kindness towards us. That's why Romans 8 verse 5 says, or 5 verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. That could show how good God is. Only a good man keep forgiving you while you are still offending. Only very good people as human beings will keep relating with you while you keep breaking the rank. Somebody else just cut you off. So she's not serious. He is not serious. But God didn't treat all that way. Tell your neighbor God is good. It's a testimony. Tell your neighbor God is good. Please testify again. Glory be to God. Today I want to go very fast. I was told that I have limited time today. I want to show you the evidence of God's goodness in your life. So I title it Evidence of God's Goodness in My Life. You can put your pastor's life there. If you don't feel that God is not good to you, it's not by force. I'm saying my own. Evidence of God's goodness in my life. Can I tell you that to enjoy God's goodness, everything that God will go through to get His goodness to you will come privately. Every change your life will ever experience on earth must come privately. And what I mean by privately, like now you are in the church, God is speaking. I'm speaking now, or He's speaking now, but what you hear may not be what your neighbor will hear. God, your neighbor does not need what you hear. What you are going to understand from this teaching today may not be what your neighbor will understand. That one you understand is your private message. So if you are playing the church while the world is going on, you are missing the opportunity to be able to have an evidence in your life of His goodness. God spoke to our father Abraham privately. In Genesis 12, verse 1 and 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, He said, live where you are. He said, I will bless you. There was nobody. It was Abraham that he spoke to. It was Abraham that went to his wife and said, God said we should live here and go to an unknown place. That's why if you are a wife here and your husband say, God said this, don't always insist that what God told you is different from what the man said. you are not a follower. And in marriage, there's no partnership. Hear me, I hear me well. Your husband is your master, according to Bible standards. Your husband is not your male partner, he's your master. And any attempt to see him less than this, you are looking for rot. You are looking for trouble for yourself from God. It was Abraham's private meeting with God. God said, live here. We can't have two leaders in one ship. God said, live here. Go to where I will show you. He now mobilized his wife and Lot, his cousin, or nephew, sorry. And then they moved together. When God, at age 90, God went in to circumcise himself, he did not talk to anybody. It was a private discussion. Go, circumcise yourself and all the male in your house, including the one you bought with your money. That means the slaves. It was a private discussion between him. God was preparing him for Genesis 24, verse 1. But he has not got in there. God really want to bless him. Then later in Genesis 22, verse 1, 2, and 3, God appeared again. It was a private meeting. Sarah was not involved. Even though her son was to be sacrificed, God didn't tell her. Say, my servant Abraham, come. Take your son, whom thou lovest. Take him to a mountain that I will show you again. Then there you will sacrifice him as a burnt offering. I was telling my wife one day on bed, I've not been able to even tell her the revelation about sacrifice and burnt sacrifice. They're never the same. Their sacrifice will make that pain you, that take a lot from you, but it may not be a burnt sacrifice. The highest level of sacrifice is what? It's burnt sacrifice. When God give me time, come and teach you. Let me teach my wife first. Because I told her first, and I've not said anything about it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. God spoke to Abraham, take your child, it was. And Abraham treated all this as private discussions. So if you are waiting for the change in your life, you will get it via private discussion with God. So all these instructions to Abraham came privately, not publicly. It can come through the church and hear like this. It can come while you are reading the Bible. It can come while you are in praise and worship. It can come while you are studying. It can come while you are praying. But the thing that is going to be private does not have to be inside your, under your bed or in your room. It can be in the church like this. But God is communicating to you. Any attempt to play with that discussion, with that revelation, and the word God is passing to your heart is a way of telling God, I want to remain on one spot forever. You want to have an evidence of his goodness in your life. Never you play with your private discussion with God. Because God visits man as individual, one by one, not as a crowd. If you come like a crowd and bless us as a crowd, all over the world, yes. But even in that, you still narrow it down to your own need. Because your need is different from your neighbor's need. So if you don't open up yourself to God, that person may remain on one spot forever. That's why you see Christians born again, Holy Ghost filled, but they are stagnated. They lack the evidence of God's goodness in their life. Not because God is not good to them, but because this thing that we are talking about, this private discussion, is not there. They play with it. Even when God show you mercy and send a human agent to talk to you and say, do this, don't do this, you play with it. It's a private talk. This This is my man of God here, by the grace of God. So I'm a man of God in Hakka. And he talked to me and said, you know, he's a man of God, I'm just an ordinary bishop. And he said, Bishop, this is what you must do. This is what I think we should do. It's a private talk from God, but maybe I wouldn't hear, but he won't pass it to me. Don't play with it. That's what we call divine instruction. You may not hear God, but God can pass through another man, another woman, another boy, another girl to pass his cancer of his heart for you, to you. You play with it, you play with progress. So that Christians who are born again, but their life is stagnated because they play with it. They are not moving forward. Their life is not changing. There's no color, no testimony. Not because they are sinners, but because they play with this private discussion, which sometimes can come with, from human being to you as an instruction. So if you meet what God is saying to you while you are in church like this, or I've told you all the areas you can hear him, you are studying the word of God, you are praying in your private worship or public praise and worship as I've done this morning, God can speak at any time to a believer. Don't joke with it. So what evidence are we looking for? Evidence is the cure for doubt. What do I call it? You can't doubt what you have in your hands. You can't doubt what is available in your life. So when you have the evidence of God's goodness in your life, doubt or whether God is good to you or not disappear. Because I've met Christians who cry and say, God is not treating them well. Nothing is working. Nothing is moving. Everything is not done for us. I've had people ask, who will ask, we sin, God not to forgive. When a man asks you, which kind of sin, God not to forgive. He has made several attempts. He has sat down himself, confessed one sin 100 times, and he still feels guilty about the same sin. So he felt that the sin why God is not answering him. So he will not ask, which sin God that God cannot forgive. When you have an evidence, doubt is over. What? Because whatever you can prove is real. God's goodness can be proved. His goodness over our life is everywhere. The evidence is everywhere. And this morning we'll look at them one by one, as much as we can see before we go. That's why you must never seek to ask God to do through you what he cannot do for you. You will not have evidence. I've had preachers who say we make many rich, but they say they are poor. That's a false prophet. What do I call them? False prophet. It's just like herbalist. Because every herbalist is a false prophet. They do money ritual for you. But ask them, what do they have? They have nothing. They call people, come and do money ritual. We'll do money. You will become rich. The man who wants to make you rich, how rich is he? So when you delight in asking God to do through you, I am not praying that prayer. I can't be carrying sickness and be around as a pastor. I'm asking God, use me to heal everybody in the world. I'm becoming a herbalist, a false prophet. What God cannot do for you, don't ask him to do it through you. You will not have evidence. The people he do it through you for, we have evidence. Where's your own evidence? Just as church centers is not a leprosy center that should go and be built near graveyard by the rivers outside the town Inside bush. What are you hiding in the bush? You have to carry your torch to the bush. So also a pastor, who is called by God, is not also a disadvantaged man, who should be begging around from his members before he can eat and train the children. If God cannot bless him, he can't bless his member through him. What do I say? If your pastor is poor, you are going to be poor. If your pastor is begging you around for money, let me charge my phone. Hey, Oga, leave that place. Don't go there again. Because you are going to be a beggar very soon. Jesus, our Lord, had an evidence. Even the clothes he wore, they couldn't tear the coat. They don't dare tear them. It was too expensive for anybody to tear. He said, let's cast lots. Anybody that he fall to, that's his luck. They couldn't cut it. Is somebody following me? May God bless you. You will not be a false prophet. And I will also be a false prophet. What God cannot do for me, I don't want to do through me. There's no need. There's no need. I can't tell you, I will make you rich. And the after I make you rich, in the afternoon, I'm going to collect one of the cup of garri that my prayer provide for you in the afternoon. God forbid. Even though we don't display wealth and affluence, because we don't believe it, but we are not too poor. We run after any mortal man here for anything. Not. If I drink my garri in my house, I'm satisfied. May God bless you. Now let's look at the evidence of God's goodness in my life, in your life. Number one, consistent blessing. What do I call it at the back? Are you hearing me at the back? Consistent blessing in the life of any man is an evidence of God's blessing. Hey, sir, ma, God's blessing is not a one-time event. If God bless you once and stop, you have not seen his goodness. You will still be poor. If he heal you once and stop, you will still, you have not seen his goodness. You suffer sickness. If God protect you once and that's all, you will still be vulnerable. His blessing, his goodness on any man is consistent and is continuous. People that taste God's blessing once and then they turn their back to God, they don't understand the meaning of goodness. God allows small breeze to blow you. You turn your back to him. You start doing your own thing. You can't go too far. If I your case this time, may be worse than before the blessing came. It's never a one-time event, but a continuous stream of blessing, including weekly or daily, weekly, monthly, and annually. So throughout the year, as he crowned the year with his goodness. Genesis 12, verse 1 to 4, where God called Abraham, verse 2, he said, I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make a nation out of you. Verse 3, he said, anybody who fight you, I will fight them. Those who bless you, I will bless them. Then verse 4, the man departed. Then Genesis, to arrive at Genesis 24, verse 1, and the Bible said, the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. The man was old, struggling with age, and then God blessed him in all things. Give us. You can see it. And God had, not has, had. It's a process that brought him to this place. The process is the little addition God was adding to his life every day, right from the day he called him in Genesis 12. Say, come out. One of the service you will do to yourself is to turn your back against God and forget him where he put blessing on your life. You won't go far. Something must collect that blessing. Something must collect it. Because he designed his blessing, his goodness in our life to be continuous. And that means there's something we must keep doing to keep receiving. We don't go to sleep. We keep loving him, keep serving him, keep giving to him. Keep obeying his word. It is the accumulation of daily blessing that make the week sweet. And then when all the weeks are sweet, you have a sweet month. When all the months are sweet, you have a sweet year. It can't be once and for all. Never. So every day you wake up, expect God's blessing in your life. It's part of evidence of his goodness to you. Expect it. Ask for it. Look for it. Put your money to it. It's all right. Don't really say there's time. There's no time. Oh, no, I just in January. Before December come, I know I will have done this. No! You are prostrating your blessing. Stop it. You are designed and engineered by God through his spirit to encounter daily blessing. They will accumulate at the end of the week to give you a good week. And when every week becomes good, the month becomes good. When every month becomes good, the year becomes good. You can't just wait, okay, I'll wait in August, I'll wait in January, I'll wait in December. Before the year ends, God will finish it for me. No! The evidence of his goodness is consistent blessing. Blessing you every day at every point in your life. It takes a good God to bless believers even at point that we disobey him. He said, do this, we'll do the other one. He gives you 1,000. He said, give me 100 naira inside. He said, no. The 1,000 naira is not enough for me. If I give you 1,000, 100 naira, the 900 naira won't solve my problem. All those little disobedience. It takes the mercy and the goodness of God for us to still enjoy his blessing. Man is known to have been fighting God with what God gave him. They fight his word, they fight instruction, they fight all his laws with what he gave them. If you give them children, they won't serve God. You ask them why, they say, my children. Say, you know my children. Before I bathe them, before I do this. If you give them work, they say, it's my work. You know, we close late. And Saturday self, I just slept off. Sunday also, I slept off. Before your work, you were a dedicated servant of God. So you are fighting God with what he gave you. The blessing we seize. You are not planning your life to enjoy his blessing consistently and continuously. Don't let anything stand between you and God in your life. Don't allow it. Nothing. You can be very vibrant before you marry. After you marry, that's the end. You go into cooler. As a single man or a single lady, you were praying the night. God, you were having real time with God. Enjoying fellowship with God. The day you marry, that's the end. Men have been known to be fighting God with the blessing he gave them. Stop it if you are one of them. This is a fighter also of our personal blessing. What is hindering God in being consistent in his blessing in our life? May God bless you. Say, may God bless you. Number two, evidence of God's blessing. Rescue and restoration. I've said that it takes a good man to keep loving you while you keep offending. Many will give up. Many will throw in the towel and say, get out. I will give you a story in the book of Acts 23, 27. And I read from here. See, this man was taken of the Jews. They want to kill him. That was Paul. And should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him. Let me give you the story. God sent Paul the apostle to be an apostle of the Gentiles. But he had a self-righteousness, which was a carryover from his Pharisee life. God, many of us have also carried over into the new life he found in Christ. God, three people spoke to him that God could use. God used the Holy Spirit to talk to him. He said, no, he's going. The prophet came and prophesied to him and said, if you go, you will not come back. He said, he will go. People, his brethren, call him and say, sir, don't go. He said, I will go. Where is he going to? Jerusalem. And what was the excuse? He said, his people, I want them saved. If God wants to save them, he knows how to arrange for them. But he arranged you for the Gentiles. But you can see the goodness of God to him. Despite this disobedience and he left, and they caught them, want to kill him. Because it caused a real havoc for many people. Endangering many people on the sea. But God still sent somebody to rescue him. That is a good man. That's a good God. If we had to be a human being, that would have been the end of Paul. This military man rescued him. I brought him back. So even in our own disobedience, you should find God showing us mercy. Not allow us to die in our sins, iniquities, and disobedience. She show us mercy. That's why if you obtain God's mercy, don't play with it. Don't joke with it. So God deliver people from trouble, even plus the trouble they caused by themselves, not the one that the enemy brought upon them. Because there are two kinds of trouble. The trouble that the oppressor bring upon people, because they are more powerful than them. And there are also trouble that we cause by people, by themselves, for themselves. But in any case, God is still good. God still rescue. And when there's repentance, he do restoration. He bring back his blessing and bless the people. Reversing all the negative effect of our sins, disobedience, and calamity. He does not leave us to our trouble and say, nah, in cause him, me go face him. You have not had human being tell that person, am I the one that caused it for you? You say no. He say, hey, why are you disturbing me? Please let me sleep. Go and face your trouble by yourself. You have not had that before? That's human being for you. But can I tell you, God does not do that. He rescued us even from our own personal problem that we caused for ourselves. How much more that the enemy brought for us, God rescued. And when there's repentance, all repentance, he brings restoration. Rescue comes before restoration. Many are rescued, but they are never restored. Because that element of repentance is not there. And if it's not there, you can never get restoration. God is super good. Tell your neighbor, God is super good. Very, very good. Glory be to God. Number three, provision. Evidence of his goodness. Provisions. Psalm 23 verse 5. Thou prepare a table before me, not in a corner, but in the presence of my enemies. And there you anoint my head, and my cup overflows. God provides food. You think your work is the one feeding you. That's a mistake you have made. Your work is not the one providing food for you. I know you are making money from your work, but you have turned that, no, my salary, once I get salary, I will eat. It's a big mistake. An act of ingratitude to God. You are not grateful enough. It is God that you can have money and still be hungry. He provides the food. He provides security. Provide us sound health. Provide us life that we breathe out every day. It's God's provision. Why is he doing that? To keep you and I sanctified. There will be a lot of defilement of our physical body, our heart, and even our spirit in the midst of lack and want. You have not heard before that a man stole as small as 200 naira so that the children can eat. A woman will go and sleep with another man so that her children can do what? Can eat. If you hear, you say it's a useless woman. You say, the man is a thief. Let me tell you. If provision is removed from any man, the man will be subject to ridicule. Because any man on earth who is in perpetual lack and want is a subject of ridicule on earth. Something will ridicule him. That's why many people can't maintain their language. Language are changed in the midst of hunger. People change their language. They know what is right, but they tell you, no, this one is the one that's right. The wrong becomes right so that they can get what to eat. I don't give a car or house. So God, to avoid all this and keep us sanctified, keep our language intact, he make provisions for you. If you ever lack anything in your life and you cry to God, and before you know, God sent helpers. That is evidence of God's goodness in your life. Don't joke with it. God is really good. He won't put you in a corner and leave you there. No. He won't allow any trouble to box you to a corner and then overcome you there. God will come to your rescue. He makes provisions.
He provides for our needs. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
To maintain our integrity on the earth, his provision is key. It's key. That's why nobody should make a boast. This can't happen to me. When I hear that, I just laugh inside me. It is God that didn't allow it to happen to you. It's God. Say, even if I will die, I will die. You have not got to the point where if you sit there, you say, death, go away. Let me do it. But you never get there. Please say amen.
Amen.
For God provide for us to avoid all this kind of embarrassment. That is the evidence of God's goodness in your life. Mommy shared with us some years back of a mother-in-law who was coming to pack the load of the son-in-law, of daughter-in-law, sorry, because she has not given birth for her son. That's several years. The mother said, I will come. Because there's one Mr. John, I'll be old John. They must come and see. That one they give the king. Who they give the king? No, be God. And as the woman was prepared to come and embarrass her, God answered this woman.
and put baby inside her. By the time the mother-in-law arrived for fight, her hand was down. Because the woman was already what? Pregnant. That's how God avert embarrassment by providing the highest of your need at any point in life. So that to stop that embarrassing situation, only his provision can stop it. That's why at any point, no matter what happened to you in your life, never you seek help from power of darkness. Don't let anybody advise you. They will complicate your issue, make you suffer, and you regret for life. Stand with God. It may be difficult, it may be painful, but can I tell you, he will never leave you being boxed to a corner and leave you there. Not God. Not the God I serve. But I tell you that, no, it will be easy. You will not feel any pain. No, that's a lie. You may feel the pain, but the pain won't overcome you. You will finally overcome that pain if you wait on him. Because his goodness will bail you out.
Evidence of his goodness. Number 4.
His goodness is our source of praise. Psalm 48 and verse 9. See, we have thought of your loving kindness, O Lord, in the midst of your temple. Then verse 10. Reflecting on God's goodness, reflecting on how God forgave us our sin and make us children of God, is a central theme for praise and thanksgiving. You can't reflect, you can never be thankful. Now I'll be announcing how Thanksgiving is coming, it's coming, it's coming. Some see that nothing. That God kept you for a whole year. The road you passed and came back, some went there that died. You made a plan at the beginning of the year. Today, the plan has been successful. If you are able to reflect on the goodness of God, you are bound to have praise and thanksgiving. Because it's the source. It's the source of it. So his goodness is truly our source of thanksgiving. And we're going to gather here 7th of December to thank him, celebrate, dance before him. Because we have seen his goodness. We have seen him as a good God. Some people is a bad God. But to us, he's a good God. To you, he's a good God. If you don't know how to think, yet we have thought of your loving kindness. We have thought. Those who don't know how to reflect on their lives and bring 1, 2, 3 points, but always thinking on what has not been done, those people, they never go forward. The way forward is thanking him for what he has done. And expect that the one that has not been done will soon be done by him. And live a joyful life, a happy life. The way to progress is recognizing God as your source and then giving praise. Praise the Lord. The last one, number 5. His goodness is our cause for testimony. We have people today testify. Somebody is 60. Somebody just got married. Because they had a lot of plan and all the rest. And God brought those plans to come to pass. There are people that plan to marry this year. They can't marry. Some say, the relationship has scattered. Some have plenty of money, but they can't just marry. So your testimony. And that's why they came to say, Lord, we thank you for making us husband and wife. May God bless that marriage. May God bless that home. Bless them with money and with children. Sound health and long life. In Jesus' precious name. Sometimes, In fact, most times, the goodness of God can be so evident in your life that it will spark jealousy from others. And that jealousy is the central point, is the rallying point for God to show his power and more of his goodness in your life. As long as you keep giving him the glory. Others are angry that God is blessing you. Say, don't park your car in this country. Don't park your car here again. If they block our road, the man will tell you, you don't get motor. Now, leg you get. But you say your car don't allow him to do what? To pass. How big is his body? He's just angry. And you enter your room and say, Lord, I thank you for my car. Thank you for more. You are provoking God to demonstrate his power in case he did try any nonsense behind you. There are people who are suffering back to sender, but we don't know. What they are going to raise what? It's back to sender. The jealousy, the wickedness, the envy in their heart against God's children that God is blessing. And they're against them. A woman is pregnant and is walking, say, waiting. Every time you do like this. You know, now, believe we never see before. Hey. Be careful. And when you go home, you don't get belay, but back pain you for 6 days. You have back pain for 1 week. And you say, oh, what did I do? Some people were mocking a pregnant woman in the church. Then you just transfer the pain in her body and dash you for 1 week. God's goodness in our life can spark jealousy, envy from people. Say, what did he build? When every person has built before, you don't build them. But they get jealousy. You ridicule you and make what you have done, what God has done for you, to be useless. And if you are not very careful, you may join them. To downplay God's goodness in your life, you have missed it. The target of the devil, you see them, is for you to not place value on the goodness of God in your life. Don't join them. Even if your car is smoking, when you start it, the whole compound is full of smoke. Tell God, I thank you. I'm not trekking again. I'm a car owner. If rain come now, why not? You are a car owner. Oh boy. Or my brother. You don't be a small man. You are a big man. Oh. That if rain is coming, those who have I pass my neighbor. And sorry. I pass my, why you good now? I say, why you good now? I pass something. They might they pass something. They pass you. They pass you with a trek. And rain is coming and they climb their bicycle and start running. They will beat the rain down you. Am I correct? And you now say, waiting. And you might go home and start thinking, oh, what did I get? God help you. You miss it. May God bless you. Can you rise up? May God bless you. Oh my God.